is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, John is out, but it's Lance and Dell today, and very excited to be joined by the Rockets general manager, Rafael Stone, live from Las Vegas as we get to catch up on Jalen Green, the summer league, the team build out. And first of all, Rafael, welcome to the show. I just want to say congratulations. Didn't get a chance to talk to you after the draft, but congratulations on what appears to be a very exciting draft for the organization.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We're definitely excited. It's always nice to have young, talented guys, and we ended up with a lot of them. Maybe a little more than we expected as things played out. And so, yeah, we're excited.
So let me go back to the draft and draft day for a second, because I'm curious. This was a draft that a lot of people said had, you know, at first they said the top five are as deep as and talented as any top five for years and years. And was that do you think that – I know your guy, Jalen Green, looks really, really good. I like Cade Cunningham, but you studied these guys very, very closely. Did you have that same feeling? You've been with the Rockets for a while. You've done this job, you know, the evaluation stuff, and been part of studying drafts at least. What was your thought about this draft headed into it and its depth?
Yeah, I do think that at the very top that there were a number of guys who in a in kind of a normal year, there's never a normal year, but leaving that aside, in a normal year, that there were a number of guys that would typically have been drafted number one, or you'd be very happy to draft number one. And so that doesn't happen in every year. And I do think that was the case for this particular draft.
And then what about when it came to Jalen Green, when the process of taking a look, you know, there's a lot of rumors out there that the Rockets wanted to move up to one, and there was Cade Cunningham this and Cade Cunningham that. But ultimately, you guys sat at number two and drafted a player who, boy, is unbelievably explosive. I mean, can get off the bounce and get to the hole, can has that nice step back to where he can create space for himself. I mean, just an explosive, explosive talent. What does the ceiling look like for a player like Jalen Green in your estimation?
Yeah, I mean, Jalen doesn't have a ceiling. He's, first of all, he's you know, obviously when you draft somebody, you don't know them. You spend as much time as you can with them pre-draft. That ends up functionally being, you know, 36 hours or something. So the last couple of weeks have been really instructive for me in terms of who Jalen is, what he's about. You know, it's early and he's young. But we couldn't be happier. He's really just a nice guy, and very much fits with, I think, the culture that we currently have and that we're trying to build on. You know, about basketball supposed to be fun, and you're supposed to enjoy your time here. You're supposed to enjoy your teammates. But when it's time to step on the court, whether that is a practice or a game or just an individual workout, it's all about the grind. It's really, really embracing, you know, trying to get better each and every single day. And, at least thus far, he, you know, that's him to a T. So, you know, we're really, really excited about him. And there just aren't very many people who are as athletic as Jalen, just naturally. And so the end result is, you know, I think we're all going to figure out how good he can be. And if he keeps this attitude, and if he just stays on the grind, you know, I certainly would not want to limit him.
You mentioned earlier being a bit surprised by the number of picks you had and the number of first rounders that were selected. Now, you have, if this list is correct, there's 14 players under contract. That doesn't even include Usman Garuba, who will come over soon. Do you anticipate having all four first rounders on the opening night roster?
Oh yeah, we do.
So So the other thing we had discussed going forward, at least earlier in the show, was potentially minutes distributed, because you have veteran guys on your roster who play the guard positions, and you seem to be loaded there. If you look at the three guys, we talk about Jalen quite a bit, but you had Josh Christopher, who's been impressive as well in the early summer league. Has there been any consideration about how minutes will be distributed? Is that something that's going to be discussed later on?
Yeah, that's really a discussion for the regular, not even like the preseason, really the regular season, and just going. I mean, I'm sure the coaching staff is already, you know, thinking about it and planning for it and everything else. That you know, the minutes allocation is certainly Stephen's purview, not mine. But and just to be clear, because maybe there's a little bit of a difference. Like, you have to, you know, the only way you can't roster a first round pick is if they choose to play someplace else, like playing overseas, and you don't ever actually sign them to a contract. So they have to be on your 15-man roster. But they can bounce back and forth to the G League if they're not giving enough minutes. They can go down and get a quick game in or something like that. So there are definitely things you can do with younger players to make sure that they're improving. But definitely all four of those guys will be on our opening day roster.
You know, you said something that's really, I'm a big fan of team building, and you're at the, I feel like the Rockets were able to tear it down near the studs and you get a rebuild. So I'm really excited and interested to see how you go about doing this. But you mentioned culture, and you want basketball to be fun. You want it to be enjoyable, but you also want them to be about ball. When it's time to be about ball, be about ball. And I think that's exciting for everyone to hear that. What I am interested in, though, is as somebody who really thought very highly of Daryl Morey, I thought Daryl did a phenomenal job. The one area that I always had some concern about, and I think this can be the case with sometimes with analytics guys, is I didn't always feel like he had a great feel of chemistry in the locker room and how guys interacted with each other and what that could mean, the interpersonal relationships moving forward with the team. So I want to bring this up to you. In terms of team chemistry in the locker room and how guys fit with each other, how important is that to you relative to the basketball side?
You know, I use culture because I think it is slightly different than chemistry to me. Functionally, you know, all it really is who people are. And so every time somebody leaves and somebody else comes in, you're changing your culture, you're changing your chemistry. And we, all of us, I'm assuming you included, we're all really, really bad at predicting how that's going to play out.
Right.
And so it's not something, and that's why when people talk about chemistry, at least for me, I tend to not engage there, because it's not something that I can predict. Oh, these two guys, their style of play, you know, is very complementary, so then they're going to play well together. Well, that doesn't always happen. They may not like each other, and there's so many more things that go into it. And how do you predict if some people who don't know each other are going to like each other? And just it goes on and on and on. And so, and then also, it's for sure the case that in basketball, you know, if you have really, really talented players, they actually just make each other better if they want to. It's not the case that, like, there's only one ball and people can't survive and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, if you're really good at the game and you see the game faster than everybody on a more sophisticated level, you and two or three of your teammates do too, the game just becomes easier and you can do additional stuff. And I think you've seen with some of these teams that have aggregated players who were individual superstars, they play together, and then, you know, whether in year one or year two or year three, they win championships. And you know, it turns out that sharing the ball isn't the ginormous issue that everybody thought it was. And then there have been times when it's failed, but to me, that's usually because either the people involved weren't maybe as good as everybody thought they were in the first place, or there was injuries or something else. You know, I think really talented players make each other better. So anyway, coming all the way back to chemistry, you know, I think, you know, we'll try and figure that out, but culture and how we all approach it, I think, is a little different. And that's something particularly with younger players that I think that you grow and you can grow together. And so that is an area of emphasis for us.
One quick follow up. Do you, and it's tougher because guys have such small, you know, it's one thing I do stuff in the NFL, right? Well, you have 3 years. There's a lot more. I think there's a lot more variables that are under your control. But for you, with like your second pick spent a smattering of games in the G League, and now you got to try to figure them out, as you mentioned. Do you draft culture or do you try to grow culture? In other words, do you find guys who have something inside them innately, or do you try to fit, or do you try to fit around players the types of people and players that can help them grow into a type of culture?
Chicken egg, I guess,
is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, but I don't think it's limited just to your players. I think it's your coaches and your front office staff, and it's everyone, and it's everyone being about the same thing. You know, we spent a lot of time together, especially like last year where we were effectively all isolated together for a year, you know? And so you basically have a 30 person traveling crew and you're stuck together. Well, you know, one really, really exceptional human being can pick everyone else up. And a couple of guys who don't want to be there and just have a sour attitude can tear everyone down. So, I think it's everyone, but I do think people grow both as basketball players and as human beings. And I include myself in that. Like, I think for all of us, our goal should be to be better people, better at our job, better at everything tomorrow than we were yesterday. And so, that's kind of the culture we're trying to build, is everybody's in it together. Everybody's always trying to improve. And we're trying to have fun along the way. I also think simple messages are the best. It's not really a complicated formula for me, but I do think that's the vision I have. That's the place I want to work in. And when I talk to people, whether it's Steven or Jalen or Josh or Alperin, or Usman or, you know, Kevin, John, Eric, Christian, you know, when I talk to people and I talk about that, I think that's something that everybody can get behind, and it just sounds fun, and I think we're all in on that.
For about maybe the last half decade, the stated goal for the Rockets has been championships, and I don't know if all costs is what I want to term it as, but the goal was in the playoffs, they're trying to win it all. That has changed, maybe not in the distant future, but certainly in the immediate future. Are there things you're pointing to for this upcoming season that you can say, okay, that makes a successful year, or is that still developing?
Yeah, no, I don't. It's actually one of the, you know, we've talked about this, not really with our players, but a little bit in the front office, that, yeah, it's a little bit nice. It for sure was championship or bust the last, you know, however many years, and that was appropriate. That was the right attitude, the right goal for that team, for those collection of players and coaches and everything else. And we're in a different position where, you know, we can find success and we can find growth, even if that ultimate goal isn't achieved. And so, in that sense, I think, you know, getting back to having fun, I think it actually makes the goal of having fun more achievable and easier. And so, I do think we're all committed to finding victories where we find them, and setting little goals as a group to try and accomplish them, and enjoying the process of getting better and growing as a group. We just have a ton of very young players, and even some of the guys who are not quite as young, in terms of age, are very young in their NBA careers, and so there's just a ton of growth inherently possible. If you're improving as a group, you're doing the right things, and that's for all teams. But it is a little bit of a luxury without that, you know, imminent pressure of, oh, I know you played better today than yesterday, but are you going to win a championship in 6 months? You know, that wears on you. That was tough, and there were reasons that there's a reason for the teams we've had. There was a reason that was always the question, but we don't have to deal with that now, and we can just, you know, we can, if we are better today than we were yesterday, we can celebrate that a little bit easier and a little bit, you know. And so I think that's part of enjoying it and having fun is I think that'll be our approach.
Rockets general manager Rafael Stone joins us. He's from Las Vegas. We appreciate you taking the time. I do want to ask you quickly about your second pick of the draft, because I know in reading up before the draft, a lot of analytics models had Alperen Şengün, as I think that's how you pronounce his last name, as the number one player in the analytics model in terms of his production and projection. Guys like John Hollinger, who's a highly respected analytics-driven evaluator, said he couldn't see him busting, like it was very little chance. And everyone spoke very highly about a high floor and an exciting ceiling. Give us an idea of who he is as a player and kind of what you think a reasonable three-year projection is on him as an evaluator.
Oh, I have no idea what his projection is.
See, I just wanted to put you in there. I've got to do that for a living. I wanted you to.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you that one. But but who he is? He's a really interesting player. I mean, he's a guy who was the MVP of the Turkish League at 18, and the team that won the Euro that won EuroLeague this year came out of the Turkish League. So that was the team that ended up being the best in the world outside of the NBA. And so it gives you a sense for the fact that these are really good basketball players. And he wasn't playing against, other 18-year-olds. He was playing against, 30-year-old men, and was frankly dominant. And so, so that's really, really interesting. Now, it's not the NBA, and players are not as good, in the Turkish League as they are in the NBA from top to bottom. But as a player, he just has a lot to his game. So he's very comfortable in the low post. Kind of think old school, dump it into him, center, and one on one in the post, he's a load. He's got a lot of moves, and he can get himself comfortably into shots. He's very hard to play without fouling. But besides that, he handles the ball pretty well. He's got really good touch from the perimeter. Just because he was so effective down low, he just didn't shoot much. But I do think that that's an area that eventually he'll be pretty good at. I think he's going to stretch the floor all the 3-point line. And he can really pass. And he has moves. He has moves not just in the low post, but even from the perimeter. He's got a little crossover, and he's got hesitations. He's got like fake handoff spins. He's just got a lot of moves for a guy who's big and physical, and he's truly, truly physical. And so he's really interesting, and he's actually a lob threat. He doesn't jump tremendously high, but he's got really, really good timing or something, because he dunks a lot, and he dunks from odd positions, and that matters because your ability to finish is, if you have to shoot layups all the time, it's much harder to finish than if you're dunking. It's just, yeah, I can walk you through it, but just trust me. So in the Turkish League, that was one of the things that we noted, was he's not somebody who's really limited the way you might initially think he is. And so we think he's really interesting, and he's been really, really good in summer league. As good as we would have hoped. But he's gonna have to translate it to preseason and, eventually the regular season and everything else. And he's going to have to, he's going to see things he hasn't seen before. I will say, my sense is he adjusts to new things very quickly. So I'm optimistic, but, we'll just see where it goes. And in that respect, we're in exactly the same position with Garuba and with Josh Christopher and with Jalen Green. I mean, these guys are also young. We're just going to have to see how it goes. We're really excited, but we'll just have to see how they take on each and every challenge.
Yeah, I think it is an interesting, in looking at the four players you drafted, two appear to be offensive forward and two appear to have some defense. I mean, it looks like, is that wrong that you drafted with some idea of balance between offense and defense when you drafted with those four picks in the first?
Yeah, that actually would not be right.
Okay.
But
two-way players,
no,
Lance.
I know they're two-way players. I'm just saying. They appear to be pretty good defenders at 3 and 4.
I do think that the strengths for the players are maybe different, and the things that they already do well might be different. I would agree with that. I would say we do think that all four will be two-way players. I think if it's really hard to succeed in the NBA if you're not at least average on both sides of the ball. And the best players, you don't necessarily have to be a great defender and a great offensive player, but you need to be kind of average at one and then great at the other. And if you're able to do that, then you can be a really, really impactful player. But if you're a great defender and really subpar offensively, you generally give everything back. And the same thing if you're a great offensive player and subpar defensively.
How weird is
that? Teams will try and hide you, but it's really, really hard, especially in the playoffs.
I mean, speak honestly here. You've been with the Rockets for a while now. How weird was this to have draft picks? Like, you've been right there in the room talking basketball with Daryl Morey and the entire crew that's been there with the Rockets. And it's like, as a Rocket fan for my entire life, to see a Rockets team, the Daryl Morey run was like, oh my gosh, you just know draft day, you're just, it's not really going to be that impactful. And then for Rockets fans this year, to be looking at three first-round picks and then you come out of it with four players in the first round, like, that was really something we just aren't used to seeing.
Yeah, it's something I'm not used to doing. So I think it was a little different. But I do think it was the right thing for the organization at this point in time. I do think, you know, we made a really, really good run at it, and I would do it again. But I think the time, you know, at the time and it's time and opportunity. I think we did. We picked up a fourth pick. It wasn't like we were just looking for a random young guy. It was just we were very, very high in Alperin, and that was the way we were able to get him. And so. So now we got him, and that means we have four young guys instead of three. And there were scenarios where we could have only ended up with two. So some of it is just opportunity, but I do think that this is the right time for kind of a talent infusion and to really look at building it back up so that we can be back in the hunt, you know, year after year after year to win a championship. But, I mean, ultimately, that's the only goal, is to win a championship, and it felt like this was the right path.
That's Rafael Stone, the Rockets general manager, after an exciting first draft and certainly exciting to see the young players playing so well right out of the gate in Summer League. And we certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us here for our first visit with you. Good luck in the upcoming season, and we're looking forward to visiting with you here in the future as well as we continue to watch this rebuild process with the Rockets. I, for one, am very excited about what it's going to look like. It was a great run, but I'm really excited to see what the new Rockets look like, and certainly want to congratulate you on what looks like a good first step. So thanks so much for joining us today, and good luck when the season starts.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right. It's Rafael Stone, the Rockets general manager. Good catching up with him, and really glad he took the time to join us. If you have friends who didn't get a chance to listen, make sure and check it out on the podcast. We'll have Trey separate that interview, and we'll put it up there individually for you. I just want to let you know that, Trey, that's what you're going to do.
Thank you.
Trey, okay. You, as you know, as a producer, just filter that down the Cam so Cam can do it. That's how it works here.
No.
However it works.
No. Cam, you hear me. Cam knows. Cam's aware.
Cam's the intern. He knows what to do. I guess we break it right now, right?
We're done.
Powered right through the...
We're done. Just say goodbye to everybody. Yeah. Okay. Just wrap it up.
All right. Tomorrow we'll be back with more of the same, but an even better version of the show tomorrow. We have some very special stuff planned for you tomorrow. I think you're going to be really excited, Trey, and listeners. I think you're really going to be excited. For Dell, for Trey, I'm Lance Zierlein. Tomorrow John will be gone, but Dell joins me again, and we'll kick it off
for the final time.
For the final time, yeah. Dell ends up leaving us, but I'll see him every day, so it won't really matter.
Rest in peace.
Well, no, I will still work here. I just won't be working on this show.
Yeah, he's going to the Gypsy Show, is what they're calling it.
Don't stop saying
all
that.
Right, I'm sorry.
You're going to get canceled.
I know.
The Travelers. That's what we call it.
It's not the Travelers Show.
It's not the Killer Bees anymore.
It's the Travelers Show, is what we're calling it. For Dell, for Trey, thanks so much for joining us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Coming up next, Charlie Palillo.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.